This recording accompanies the Language B Standard Level Examination, Paper 2, Listening Comprehension, for English, May 2024.
Cet enregistrement accompagne l'examen de Langue B, Niveau Moyen, Épreuve 2, Compréhension Orale d'Anglais, May 2024.
Esta grabación acompaña el examen de lengua B, nivel medio, prueba 2, comprensión auditiva, de inglés, mayo 2024.
The start and end of each audio text will be indicated by this sound.
Le début et la fin de chaque texte audio seront indiqués par ce son.
El inicio y el final de cada texto de audio se indicarán con este sonido.
The end of the examination will be indicated by this sound.
La fin de l'examen sera indiquée par ce son.
El final del examen se indicará con este sonido.
Text A. You now have 4 minutes to read the questions.
You are going to hear a discussion between Dr. Müller and Fiona, a student, about rivers having legal rights like people have.
Okay, Fiona, let's talk about your homework, about how rivers can have legal rights just like a person. I find it fascinating, don't you?
Definitely, Dr. Müller. I didn't know we can see a river as a living thing and give it rights, like the right to flow and to be safe from pollution. This is great for protecting the environment.
That's the theory, but in practice, I think it will be many years before it works well.
Oh, I disagree. It already changes completely how we think about rivers and nature in general.
You are right that it changes our thinking about nature. But I believe it would be more effective for the ocean than for rivers.
Really? Oceans are so big, it's difficult for countries to agree about what to do.
Actually, most of an ocean belongs to nobody, so I think it's easier to agree.
I still think rivers are our first concern because their water becomes the ocean.
For me, the environment is interconnected, so I disagree there, Fiona. Anyway, let's look at two river case studies. Our first example is the Yarra in Australia, which is 242 kilometres long and was protected in December 2017. The Yarra River Protection Act means the Yarra is seen as a living being. Now, it is not just a resource to be used by humans, but it also deserves respect. Another example is the Magpie in Canada, which is 200 kilometres long, almost the same length as the Yarra. In February 2021, the Magpie gained legal rights. Its guardians, the Innu people, can now protect it for future generations.
That's so interesting. Thank you, Dr. Müller.
You now have 2 minutes before you hear the recording for a second and final time.
Okay, Fiona, let's talk about your homework, about how rivers can have legal rights just like a person. I find it fascinating, don't you?
Definitely, Dr. Müller. I didn't know we can see a river as a living thing and give it rights, like the right to flow and to be safe from pollution. This is great for protecting the environment.
That's the theory, But in practice, I think it will be many years before it works well.
Oh, I disagree. It already changes completely how we think about rivers and nature in general.
You are right that it changes our thinking about nature. But I believe it would be more effective for the ocean than for rivers.
Really? Oceans are so big, it's difficult for countries to agree about what to do.
Actually, most of an ocean belongs to nobody, so I think it's easier to agree.
I still think rivers are our first concern because their water becomes the ocean.
For me, the environment is interconnected, so I disagree there, Fiona. Anyway, let's look at two river case studies. Our first example is the Yarra in Australia, which is 242 kilometres long and was protected in December 2017. The Yarra River Protection Act means the Yarra is seen as a living being. Now, it is not just a resource to be used by humans, but it also deserves respect. Another example is the Magpie in Canada, which is 200 kilometres long, almost the same length as the Yarra. In February 2021, the magpie gained legal rights. Its guardians, the Innu people, can now protect it for future generations.
That's so interesting. Thank you, Dr. Muller.
You now have 2 minutes to finish answering the questions. Text B. You now have 4 minutes to read the questions.
You are going to hear an online influencer talk about how he runs his social media platform.
Hi guys, welcome back to my channel. People have been asking me how to be a successful online influencer. So in today's video, I'll share with you what I did to gain followers. I hope that'll work for you too. Number 1. Highlight your specialty. People's attention span is super short in an online world, and they will only read the first 5-6 posts on your profile to decide if they'll follow you. So you can't try to appeal to everyone and must build an image that they can identify with right away. The key word is focus. Take a look at my channel. The focus is clear. You see mostly wholesome foods, wellness advice, workout tips. But it's not enough to just have a focus. You need a point of difference. And mine? Well, I'm also a fashion designer and a dog trainer. I make sure to talk about it here and there, and now I have far beyond 100,000 followers. In an online world, you don't become an influencer because you're an expert in something. Lots of people can probably do similar things. To gain popularity, you have to draw attention to how you stand out. So that's what worked. And what didn't? One thing I didn't do when I first started my channel was show my weakness. People often expect influencers to be perfect. But hey, we're human too. When you show your weakness, it makes you look more approachable. Also, respond to comments. Audience will feel more connected to you. My second pointer is, people these days don't just look at the number of followers you have. What matters more is your engagement. If your channel is interactive, you'll attract more people. But when you get more fans, you get haters too. I personally see them as my fans in denial. They want to be me, but they can't be. In my next video, I'll show you how to use the Shine app to up your media editing skills. Stay tuned.
You now have 2 minutes before you hear the recording for a second and final time.
Hi guys, welcome back to my channel. People have been asking me how to be a successful online influencer. So in today's video, I'll share with you what I did to gain followers. I hope that'll work for you too. Number 1. Highlight your specialty. People's attention span is super short in an online world, and they will only read the first 5-6 posts on your profile to decide if they'll follow you. So you can't try to appeal to everyone and must build an image that they can identify with right away. The key word is focus. Take a look at my channel. The focus is clear. You see mostly wholesome foods, wellness advice, workout tips. But it's not enough to just have a focus. You need a point of difference. And mine? Well, I'm also a fashion designer and a dog trainer. I make sure to talk about it here and there, and now I have far beyond 100,000 followers. In an online world, you don't become an influencer because you're an expert in something. Lots of people can probably do similar things. To gain popularity, you have to draw attention to how you stand out. So that's what worked. And what didn't? One thing I didn't do when I first started my channel was show my weakness. People often expect influencers to be perfect. But hey, we're human too. When you show your weakness, it makes you look more approachable. Also, respond to comments. Audience will feel more connected to you. My second pointer is, people these days don't just look at the number of followers you have. What matters more is your engagement. If your channel is interactive, you'll attract more people. But when you get more fans, you get haters too. I personally see them as my fans in denial. They want to be me, but they can't be. In my next video, I'll show you how to use the Shine app to up your media editing skills. Stay tuned.
You now have 2 minutes to finish answering the questions. Text C. You now have 4 minutes to read the questions.
You are going to hear a radio host, Kara, interview Eric Chow about creating digital art.
Today, we have digital artist Eric Chow with us. Eric started out as a traditional painter, then turned fully digital recently, and his career took off for a second time. Now, here's Eric.
Thanks, Kara.
So, Eric, what prompted you to switch to digital art?
My traditional paintings did sell very well, but I felt my painting skills stopped progressing and I needed something to stretch myself. Then, one afternoon, I was playing with the sketch app on my daughter's tablet and I thought, that's fun. And that's how I started.
Nice. And do you still do traditional paintings?
Rarely, and just as gifts to my family and friends. All my commercial works are digital now.
And you sell your art digitally now. Don't you worry about copyright and the value of your works, since they can be copied so easily?
Well, imagine the Mona Lisa painting. It's the original copy in the museum that matters, not the replicas in a gift shop. That's the same with digital art. People enjoy owning the original copy, and it's really gaining lots of momentum these days.
I still don't get why people would do that. I don't think selling art digitally is that sustainable. Anyway, let's take a commercial break now. Eric, you know what? I do a bit of digital art for fun too. Isn't it great to have a mistake-free art piece thanks to technology?
Yes and no. The undo function is obviously useful, but I always like the blemishes on a canvas since they make an art piece unique and beautiful.
I'm a perfectionist, so I prefer a flawless piece. And drawing on a tablet is so simple and intuitive. Don't you agree?
Well, it was a steep learning curve for me, but it's worth it. The problem, though, is that there's so much you can do, and we digital artists often cannot make up our mind on what to do.
Oh, that's a surprise. And where do you find your inspiration?
I chat about my drafts with my artist friends.
I'm the opposite. I need absolute alone time for ideas to come. All right. My last question for you today, Eric. Would you agree with me that digital art education should be part of the school curriculum?
Oh, I'm all for it.
That's good to know. Thank you, Eric.
My pleasure.
You now have 2 minutes before you hear the recording for a second and final time.
Today, we have digital artist Eric Chow with us. Eric started out as a traditional painter, then turned fully digital recently, and his career took off for a second time. Now, here's Eric.
Thanks, Cara.
So, Eric, what prompted you to switch to digital art?
My traditional paintings did sell very well, but I felt my painting skills stopped progressing and I needed something to stretch myself. Then, one afternoon, I was playing with the sketch app on my daughter's tablet and I thought, that's fun. And that's how I started.
Nice. And do you still do traditional paintings?
Rarely, and just as gifts to my family and friends. All my commercial works are digital now.
And you sell your art digitally now. Don't you worry about copyright and the value of your works, since they can be copied so easily?
Well, imagine the Mona Lisa painting. It's the original copy in the museum that matters, not the replicas in a gift shop. That's the same with digital art. People enjoy owning the original copy, and it's really gaining lots of momentum these days.
I still don't get why people would do that. I don't think selling art digitally is that sustainable. Anyway, let's take a commercial break now. Eric, you know what? I do a bit of digital art for fun too. Isn't it great to have a mistake-free art piece thanks to technology?
Yes and no. The undo function is obviously useful, but I always like the blemishes on a canvas since they make an art piece unique and beautiful.
I'm a perfectionist, so I prefer a flawless piece. And drawing on a tablet is so simple and intuitive. Don't you agree?
Well, it was a steep learning curve for me, but it's worth it. The problem, though, is that there's so much you can do, and we digital artists often cannot make up our mind on what to do.
Oh, that's a surprise. And where do you find your inspiration?
I chat about my drafts with my artist friends.
I'm the opposite. I need absolute alone time for ideas to come. All right. My last question for you today, Eric. Would you agree with me that digital art education should be part of the school curriculum?
Oh, I'm all for it.
That's good to know. Thank you, Eric.
My pleasure.
You now have the rest of the time to finish answering the questions.